All right, thank you, Brother Ingram, and appreciate that song. And I'm happy that you're here tonight. If you'll take your Bibles this evening and turn with me, several places of Scripture, Psalm 95 and John 4. Psalm 95 and John chapter number 4. Again, if you're visiting with us tonight, we welcome you. We do ask that if you could possibly come back this Sunday and hear our pastor. And he will be preaching in the services on Sunday. So we ask that you come back and be with us, if at all possible. All right, if you found your place in Psalm 95, you can stand with me. Psalm 95 and John 4. Psalm 95 and John chapter number 4. Psalm 95 and verse number 6 reads, O come, and let us worship, and bow down, and let us kneel before our Maker. Now I want you to circle the phrase, let us worship. Let us worship. Right? It says, O come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. All right, now take a look, if you would, over in John chapter 4, verse 24. It'd be a familiar passage of Scripture to you. For sake of time, we cannot read the entire passage, but this is a passage of Scripture where Jesus deals with the woman at the well, and they're discussing now this matter of worship. And Jesus concludes and says, God is a spirit, and they that worship, by the way, did you notice it says, and they that worship, which tells me that there's a bunch of people that don't. That's what it kind of refers. He says, but they that worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I don't want you to turn there, but Psalm 122 and verse number 1, it'll be familiar to you. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think that verse is referring to the same subject that we've read about in these two verses. I think David was excited about going to the house of God for one reason. Because it was an opportunity to worship God. It was an opportunity to meet in a holy place, in a sanctified place, where he would go and he would meet with God. Now I want to talk to you tonight about true worship. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight of being in church. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, please move in our hearts tonight, that when we leave this place, that our hearts might be encouraged, and Lord, that we might go forth and be better Christians because of the Word of God tonight. Again, thank you for the privilege of being in church. We look forward to your goodness now in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, I got concerned in my own life about what I do when I come to church. I began to think about why I come to church. I began to think about what I do when I'm at church. I began to think about what I do for God and why I'm here and what the purpose of all this is. And folks, I must be honest, I got convicted about it. Because I'm convinced, I want you to listen very carefully to me, I'm convinced a lot of people show up at church, but not many people worship in God. I want to help you and I want to help me tonight to get back to the thing that God so desires from you. And that is worship. Worship. All through Scriptures we find God revealing to His people and speaking to His people about worship the Lord thy God over and over and over. Now listen to me. We have in us a desire to worship something. Now, either we're going to worship the one true God, our Savior, our Creator, or we're going to worship something else. All through Scriptures, we find the Old Testament where God began to tell Israel, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on Jehovah. Because if not, you're going to fall off and you're going to begin to worship other gods. You begin to worship other things. He had to draw them back over and over and over again. Now, folks, listen to me. I got convicted about this thing. Because I felt that I was coming to church And I was sitting through the preaching and teaching Sunday school and serving God and leaving the church having never entered into worship to Almighty God. And yet that's one thing He desires more than anything is the worship of the people of God. Folks, do you understand what is connected with worship? Do you understand that worship is consecration, dedication, love, loyalty, homage, reverence to God? That's what it is. Most of us come and we hear, we fellowship, we do all of these things, but never worship. We never worship God. And I'm telling you, God so desires that from our life. Can I say something to you tonight, church? On two different occasions, when you go read the book of the Revelation, you'll find that on two different occasions where an angel of God reveals something to John, and in chapter 19 and chapter 22, he fell down and attempted to worship that angel. The angel of God told him, said, "Get up, stand up, don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant." And he made this statement twice, once in Revelation 19, once in Revelation 22, three words. The angel said, "Worship God." There's two words in it. Worship God. Now listen to me. There's something to this thing of worship. Now folks, listen to me. Some of us, if it wasn't for glorification, you'd be miserable in heaven because you're going to spend eternity doing one thing. Worshiping God. Giving God glory and honor that comes to His precious, wonderful, and holy name. Listen, He not just only wants it in eternity, He wants it now. He wants it from us now. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. We use our church as a place to socialize. We come so that we can socialize with families and friends. And folks, listen, I'm not against socializing, but that's not what the purpose of this place is. This place was not built. Lives were not given. People did not sacrifice to build this building so that we could come and socialize. Yet some of us, we use church to socialize. May I say also, number two, we use our church many times to fellowship. And I'm not against fellowshipping. I like fellowshipping, don't you? I like getting together. I like going to the fellowship hall and eating or doing whatever. I like that kind of stuff. But can I say so? That's not what this church is built for. It's not what this place is for. This place wasn't built to fellowship. This place wasn't built to socialize. This place wasn't built for work alone. Even though we have opportunity to work through the local church, wasn't built for that. This place wasn't constructed so that we would have a place to work. It was built so and wasn't built for us to socialize or fellowship. By the way, can I say this? It wasn't built for us to come and sell and buy either. Though I'm not against all of that, I'm just saying to you, listen, we have lost the purpose of what this place is all about. What you're here for. We come, we fellowship, we socialize, we work, we sell, we buy, we do all, and we go home, never having entered into the most sacred thing God has given us. It's worship. Worship of God. What a sad thing. But I'm just saying to you, church, we use our church for these things, but are we participating in the very thing that this place was constructed for? Now you listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. If we come and all we do is come to socialize, fellowship, work, sell, buy, and all these things, you listen to me, we are no different than the money changers Jesus had to run out of the temple who had made it a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer. We're no different because we're coming, selling, buying, working, doing all the things for us, for self-gain. Folks, this is not about you and me. This is about Almighty God. This is about the Creator of everything who desires your loyalty, who desires your consecration. Can I say something to you? Why would we come to church with the intentions and the express purpose of worship and leave having never accomplished what we came here to do? You know what that is like? That's like Brother Sam loading his golf clubs up and going out to the golf course and renting a golf cart and just riding around and never participating, never swing a club. You know what else it's like? It's like guys going out to the hunting blind and to the deer blind and go out there with the intention of hunting, but getting there, set the gun up, fall asleep, and sleep. Never participating in the thing and the purpose, what they went there for. Ladies, can I say something to you? It's like getting up on the day after Thanksgiving at 4:30 in the morning. Now, can I say this? Before I began hunting years ago, I used to thought that was crazy. Now I thought, you know, they're so crazy. Because I do it. But ladies, it's like getting up at 4:30 in the morning and getting ready to go out to shop and get all these bargains at the store, but going out and shopping for hours. My wife said, it was it a new record this year? A new record this year, 13 hours. She shopped on Friday after Thanksgiving. A new record. Aren't you happy? Man, I feel proud. I'm married to a world record setter. 13 hours. And listen, but you know what? It's like getting up, having the money, having everything, and going out and just shopping and never purchasing anything. You see, what I'm saying is you went out to buy. You went out to play golf. You went out to hunt, but you came back without participating in the very thing you went to do. And I'm saying to you, church, We do that. We're doing that in the house of God. We're coming to church. We're doing all of these things and we're not participating in worship. We're not giving God what He so desires. Can I say there's some misconceptions of worship? First of all, can I say to you that many people have the misconception that service is worship? They come, they serve on their bus. They teach their Sunday school class. They work as an usher. And by the way, folks, all of these are good things. These are not bad things. Listen to me. There are two elements to the Christian life. You know what they are? Service and worship. And yet we think that service is worship. No, you know what that is? That's service is what that is. That's serving God. That is not worship. Listen to me. You don't find in Scriptures where it says, oh, come, let us serve God. No, it says over and over, oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us give homage. Let us give reverence. Let us give consecration to Him. And people have the misconception that service is worship. Can I say, number two, that another misconception is that attending a preaching service is worship. Now, you know what's happening right now? You're getting information. That's what you're doing. The preacher, when he stands up and preaches, what he's literally doing is he's administering information from the Word of God to you. You see. But yet we think that by sitting here in this auditorium, boy, that right now, boy, we're worshiping God. But can I say this to you, church? There's more to this thing. There are some elements to worship. And I'm here to tell you tonight that most of us come and go. And come and go and have never experienced sincere, true worship of God. Now let me tell you what hinders this, all right? I want you to jot a few things down. We're going to turn to some scriptures, so you're going to need your Bible. And the first place I want you to turn is 1 Samuel 15. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 15. This will be a familiar story to you. Everybody remembers Saul, don't you? Remember God's command to Saul, or Samuel's command to Saul? Go and utterly destroy all the Amalekites. Okay, I want you to look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 15. For sake of time, we're just going to read one verse. I tell you what, go back up to verse 24. 1 Samuel 15, 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now listen to this. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me. Listen now, that I may worship the Lord. You see, there was something that was standing, he knew, between him and God that was going to hinder him from giving his all to the Lord. You know what it was? It's disobedience. He knew that disobedience was standing between him and true worship. And he knew it wasn't going to happen if he didn't make it right. He knew that it wasn't going to happen if this one thing wasn't addressed. Continue to look on, if you would. in verse 25, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not turn with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord God, or the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Now, church, listen to me very carefully. Saul knew what the problem was, though, didn't he? He knew what the problem was that was standing between him and worship. You know what it was? Disobedience. He had disobeyed God's commands. Question tonight, anybody sitting in this auditorium disobeying the commands of God tonight? Can I say something to you? That's standing between you and worship. And here's what we think now. We think we can come to church and disobey God. I mean, blatantly disobey God and expect to enter into worship. Listen to me. Look at me. It ain't happening. All right, it's not happening. Because it's standing between you and true worship. Can I say this, number two? Maybe it's disobedience to God's commands, or maybe it's disobedience to whatever God's will is for your life. Are you struggling with the will of God? Is God tugging at you about doing something special for Him and you're bucking Him? Can I say something to you? You know what it's going to do? It's going to hinder your worship. It's going to hinder your worship and your ability to give Him what He so desires. Saul knew what it was, his disobedience. Saul knew that because of his disobedience, he could not enter into worship any longer like God desired. So that's one of the things that hinders us from worship. I'm just asking tonight, church, are you sitting here tonight in disobedience to the commands of God or to the will of God for your life? Can I go a step further and say this? Do you even know what the will of God is for your life? That can hinder your worship. Because you know what? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what that'll do? That'll hinder your ability to worship. And folks, listen to me. Do you understand where I'm going tonight? What I'm trying to communicate to us, most of us are here tonight, we're going to leave and never worship God. And you know what? The thing about it is, we think we have because we came and sat in a service. We think we have because we ushered. We think we have because we sang in the choir. And I'm just saying to you, listen to me, it's disobedience is one of the things that'll hinder us. It'll hinder us from our worship of God. All right, number two, go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is the story, remember, David and Bathsheba, the son is born, the illegitimate boy is born. And he takes gravely ill. David's on his face, he's been fasting and praying. God, save my boy! 2 Samuel 12, 20, look at it. Then David, after the news came, he asked, "Is the child dead?" In verse 19, and they said, "He's dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. Now listen now. You know what he did? He had a burden, a very heavy burden and trial he was facing. And in the midst of that, once it came to the conclusion and God had answered, look at what he did. He got up, he changed his apparel, look what he did, and came into the house of the Lord. And what did he do, church? He worshiped. What was stopping, what was standing between him and worship? It was a burden. Some of you tonight have a tremendous burden you're carrying on your shoulders. It could be a family burden. It could be a financial burden. It could be whatever burden it could be. You see, some of you here tonight have heartaches within. Some of you have trials on the outside. David had a major trial, a major heartache, a major burden. And you listen to me, that was hindering worship. But once God had answered, you know what he did? He got up, brushed himself off, changed his apparel, and worshiped God. I'm just telling you tonight, a heavy burden or trial can stop you and hinder your worship of God. Because you know what you do? You come to church and all you think is about your burden. All you think about your trial. You're not concerned about God. You're not concerned about faith. You're not concerned about nothing. You know what you're? You're concerned about your burden. You're concerned about your trial. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And we're concerned about all these things. And let me tell you, your mind is 100 miles away. And you think you're going to worship God? You're not. You're not. So disobedience will hinder us. Disobeying commands and maybe disobedience to the will of God for our life. And he's tugging our heart to do something, we're disobeying. It's going to hinder our ability to worship. Maybe a heavy burden or a trial It's going to hinder your ability to worship. May I say number three, turn to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Turn there if you would there for just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Remember King Hezekiah? His dad wasn't worth spitting on. Ahaz was rotten to the core, brother. So bad that he had polluted the house of the living God. There was no worship going on. Oh, they were worshiping other things. They weren't worshiping Jehovah. It was bad. But Hezekiah takes over. Things begin to happen. He begins to straighten some people out. He begins to do some things. And I want you to notice that after all of these things have come to pass, look at verse number 28, 2 Chronicles 29, 28. And all the congregation, what did they do, church? They worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now, wait a minute. None of this was going on during Daddy's reign. Ahaz gets in, he cleans things up. Wait a minute, how was worship restored? Go back, if you would, now, and look at verse number 5, same chapter. Hezekiah says unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord your God, of the God of your fathers. Listen to this now, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. And listen to me. One of the things that's going to hinder us from worshiping God is not just disobedience, not just burdens and trials, but you listen to me. The filthiness of sin in your life. He said, carry the filthiness out of this holy place. You know what he was saying, church? He was saying, hey, listen, there's going to have to be some house cleaning going on. We don't have time to turn there, but you can write it down as a reference. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Remember, that's the portion of the scripture where they stood for a fourth of the day and read the word of God. And then the other fourth of the day, you know what they did? They confessed and worshiped. They confessed and worshiped. You know what that tells me? They were doing some house cleaning. And boy, they had some things to confess too. And so do we. Now, I'm just saying to you, folks, how many of us thought about getting on our knees tonight and do a little house cleaning before we ever came to church? How many of us thought about getting in a quiet place and say, Lord, I don't know who's preaching tonight. I don't know what they're preaching about. Would you speak to me some way, somehow? Would you just talk to me, Lord, in some fashion that I may be the best I can be when I leave this place? How many of us thought about that? How many of us thought about asking God, do something in me? He's saying, just get the filthiness out. Hezekiah said, listen, the house of God's a mess. Can't nobody worship around here. Get that junk out of here. They begin to clean the house of God. And I'm just saying to you, Trinity Baptist Church, listen to me. Some of us in this auditorium need to do some house cleaning. Because the house of the God, house of the living God is filthy. And we expect to worship God. It's not happening. We expect the Holy One to come down when we live in filth. When we're disobedient. I'm just saying there's some hindrances. And listen very carefully. Your relationship with God will always affect your ability to worship. Your relationship with God will always, listen to me, always affect your ability to worship. And folks, I'm just telling you, I got convicted about this thing. Can I say, I've been on staff here nearly 20 years, and I have to confess to you, I have to say that there's been many Sundays I came to church and didn't worship God. Amen! Huh? I came to church and didn't worship God. Boy, I served though. Huh? Just like you did. Boy, I taught a Sunday school class and man, I'm telling you, I just let it rip, brother. And went home, the Holy Spirit said, you think you something, huh? You didn't even worship the Creator. You didn't even worship God. Boy, you taught a Sunday school class. Boy, you sang. You did all, but you didn't worship God. You served, you listened, you participated, you did these other things, but you didn't enter into worship. And I'm just saying to you, church, listen, we're going to have to get back to this thing of worship. We're going to have to get back to this thing. If we want God to meet with us, if we want to see this auditorium filled, the people of God are going to have to get back to the thing God desires from you more than anything in this world. And that's true worship of the living God. Now, let me give you some of the ingredients and I'll be done. Okay? Here are the ingredients. Okay, turn if you would to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Now, in the Old Testament, when the people of God worshiped, I found in studying this, I studied every place in the Bible where the word worship or worshiped was used, and an amazing word kept popping up over and over and over in connection with worship. I want you to look at it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 29. The scripture says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Look at this next phrase. "Bring an offering and come before him and do what? Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Now you listen to me, church. You can't get around this. I can't get around this. Always one of the ingredients of connection in true worship is we must bring an offering. Bring an offering. Say, why do I have to bring an offering? Well, first of all, it's a gift for God. Folks, listen to me. We beat anything. We'll go to somebody's house for a birthday party and take them in a gift, won't we? Now listen to me. Listen to me. Look at me now. It's not time to pray yet, right? And look, here's what we'll do. We'll go to a birthday party and we'll take a gift. Because if we don't, you know what we're going to feel? We're going to feel ashamed, aren't we? We're going to feel embarrassed because I'm the only one that didn't bring a present. I wonder how God feels when we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and never one time bring an offering to the holy God. Never one time bring anything that expresses to him, "Lord, thank you for your blessings on my life." But you know what offering also is? Not only is it a gift for God, it's sacrifice. It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice unto God. It's an acknowledging of his blessings and his goodness on my life. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, go check me out. Go study worship and you'll find multiple places offerings always connected with it. They always, you're going to be hard-pressed to find when the Israel came to worship God where they ever came without an offering in their hand. And I'm just telling you tonight, folks, you know what? We come to church and we think we're going to worship God and we bring nothing. Nothing! Now listen to me. And here's what we think. We think that always that gift, and listen, a tithe and an offering, financial money, that's part of it, but that ain't all of it. You know what? One of the things he wants you to bring to church, he wants you to bring a right spirit so that you can hear. Remember, God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in what? And in? Yes. He wants you to bring a right spirit. Hey, listen to me. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to already predetermine when you get up on Sunday morning, no fighting. No fussing. No complaining. No criticizing. You know why? Because we're going to worship God. And I can't come to church and worship God when my spirit's not right. Can't do it. All right, number two, Psalm 95:6. Psalm 95:6. All right, Psalm chapter 95, verse number 6. All right, let's take a look at it. Psalm 95, and verse number 6, where we were just a moment ago. Now, I want you to notice what it says. It says, "Oh, come, let us worship." Now, I want you to notice this next phrase. It says, "And bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Listen, number two, the second ingredient outside of bringing an offering is humility. Now, I'm not going to spend much time here. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. When you see in connection with worship, you will always see people coming to worship, but they come in humility. Two things you need to understand about this. First of all, in this thing of humility, first of all, when we come in humility, we've got to recognize who we are. Okay? You've got to recognize who you are and who I am. And without going to a number of places in the Bible, let me give you one word that the Bible says you are: dirt. Dust. Okay? That's what we are. Now listen, you know what? You can worship God if you just realize who you are. Recognize who you are. Number two, then you got to recognize who He is. Okay? So if we're going to worship now, we got to come with humility, recognizing who I am. I am dust of the earth. But I've got to acknowledge who God is, and He is creator of the dust of the earth. You see? So if I can come with that attitude and that spirit, you know what? I'm on the road to worship, because I'm going to come recognizing who I am, then I'm going to acknowledge who He is. Number three, turn if you would to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Brother Sam's going to like this, but hey, I'm telling you, these things are connected. You look through the Scripture over and over and over again, and you'll see offering connected with worship as an ingredient. You'll see humility, bowing down, falling on their knees, bowing their face before God. And then you know what else you'll see? Psalm 66:4 says, Psalm 66:4, the Scripture says, all the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name. Selah. Now that word just means meditate on this for a minute. Over and over and over. You know what's connected with worship? A song. A song. He said, but I can't sing. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. And listen, we kid about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, I don't have time to go and develop Psalm 100. But you know what? There's more to that psalm than meets eye. We quote that thing just kind of like that. Huh? Yeah, we do. And so I'm saying to you that a song is involved in worship. Say, why a song? Well, you know what songs do? Songs tell of His greatness. Look in your hymn book. Look at the songs. You know what they tell? They tell about the greatness of God. You know what that song? By the way, I didn't mention this, but over and over the Scriptures, we see also where it talks about singing psalms. The New Testament says, hey, add to it hymns and spiritual songs also. Okay? You know what they do? They tell of His greatness. You know what else they do? They speak of His wonderful works. They speak not only of the greatness of God, but they speak of the wonderful works of God. Amen. We open our song book and we just sing and say, listen to me, folks. You know what I'm saying to you? You come with an offering, you come with a humble spirit, and you sing. You know what you're doing? You're entering into the thing that God loves. It's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. You know what it's called? Worship. It's called worship. By the way, I don't have time to go to Revelation. You know what they're doing? You know what they do in the book of the Revelation? We see them over and over again. Not only bowing down, but you know what they're doing? Singing. They're singing. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Say, what's the tune to? I don't know. But you'll find out one day. You see, humility, offering, a song is connected with worship. And then turn back to Psalm 99. Psalm chapter 99. Psalm chapter 99. And look at verse number 5. Psalm 99 and verse number 5. Listen to these words. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Did you notice the first phrase of that? It says, exalt ye the Lord. Now listen, folks, I have to throw in a whole bunch of ingredients real quick under this, but under this word, under this fourth ingredient here, exaltation, throw in thanksgiving. Look, if you would, at Psalm 100, just look up a top of your page or bottom of your page, wherever it is. Verse number 4, the Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You see, that all falls under exaltation. That all falls under giving God glory to His name. And boy, we sang that song, glory to His name, glory to His name. You know what? Exaltation in giving thanks unto God for these wonderful blessings. Can I say something else that's under exaltation? is praise. Look at verse 4, Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, folks, listen to me. We as Baptists, you know what we've done? We've become afraid of this word praise. And then we've become afraid of the word worship. And what happens is we see the word praise, we see the word worship, and we want to stay away from it because of the connections it is with the knuckleheads out there. But folks, listen to me. I'm not going to let a knucklehead rob me of worship. I'm not going to let a knucklehead, somebody that's misusing the Word of God for their own gain, hinder me from doing what's right. I want to worship God. I want to know, I want to experience what it is to come in contact with the living God on a regular basis. Don't you? And yet, we say, okay, how do we do it? Well, here's the conclusion of the story. The conclusion is this. When you got saved, the Scripture says God gave you a gift. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen very carefully. Remember, God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now listen to me. The Holy Spirit's going to contact you through your flesh, yes or no? No. He's going to contact you through what? Your spirit. Okay, now listen to me. You get in contact with the Spirit of God before you ever get here. You get and walk in the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. Here's what the Spirit of the Lord will do in a church service. He will orchestrate worship. Now can I say this to you? Now listen to me. You get a conductor in an orchestra, and you get somebody over here doing their own thing, and they're not harmonizing with everybody else, they're not going to be a part of that orchestra alone. Right? Now, the Holy Spirit's that conductor. He wants to meet with us every service, and here's what He says, Trinity Baptist Church. And you know what some of us are doing? And you know what he's doing? Hey! Look at me! You know what we do? And listen to me. There's two words in the Scripture used in connection with the Holy Spirit that you don't want to get connected with Him. One of them is the word grieve. And the other word is the word quench. And you don't want to have anything to do with either one of them. Listen to me, church. When we cease to worship God, and the Holy Spirit's trying every service. Hey! I'm right up here. That's what Brother Sam does all the time. If you're in the choir, he's trying to get your attention. Why? He's the conductor. He's trying to conduct practice. He's trying to conduct a song. You must watch him if you're going to stay in tune. If you're going to stay with him. And the Holy Spirit's trying to orchestrate worship every service. And let me tell you something. Can you imagine if every member of Trinity Baptist Church came filled with the Spirit of God? Man, I'm telling you, you're talking about harmony, brother. You're talking about getting together and the Holy Spirit orchestrating worship. And miraculous things will happen. Miraculous things like you've never seen will happen. But listen to me, Trinity Baptist, it will never happen. We don't get back to this thing of true worship. And letting the Holy Spirit orchestrate in you the thing that God Almighty wants from your life. So the next time you come to church, picture this. Before the pastor ever gets up here, picture in your spiritual mind's eye the Holy Spirit. Church, shall we worship? Let's bow our heads together tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Church, I just want to say to you tonight, as a staff member of this church,